Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we pray that your word shines before us, touch our hearts, and change our life. We commit ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been sharing about the first five books in the Bible. The reason I share is because when we read it, so often we cannot really find the main theme in each book. If you ask me Genesis, I can only remember Adam, Abraham, the stories about these men. If you ask me about Exodus, I can remember Moses, the 10 plagues, and how they walked through the sea, the Red Sea. If you ask me about Leviticus, I can't remember much. All these sacrifices. If you ask me about Numbers, I can only remember the most interesting part is the talking donkey. If you ask me about the last Deuteronomy, it's just repeating the law. I can't really remember something important from Deuteronomy. And I know later on someone shared when Jesus responded to the temptation, when he was in the wilderness, the temptation from Satan came to him. He responded from the three verses he quoted, it was from Deuteronomy. Oh, man does not live by bread alone. That's all I can remember about the Deuteronomy. So in my mind, all this Bible is just bits and pieces. I can't see the whole theme. I can't see the frame. I can't get the big picture. So I don't know about, is it true about you as well? So what I'm trying to do is helping brothers and sisters who are reading through the Old Testament, giving you some idea, getting a bigger picture. Talking about the talking donkey, we are just like seeing a bug on a leaf. Okay, we're focusing on the bug, we can't see the whole leaf. And we can't see the whole plants, we can't see the whole stem, we can't see the tree. Why is it like that? Maybe just focusing on a leaf, and then we can't see the forest. So what I'm trying to say is, hoping that we can see each book, what is the main theme? What is God trying to tell us the whole book? Not focusing on something we find it interesting, but what is in God's heart? What is He trying to tell us in each book? So let us do some revision. The first book, we talk about the will of God in Genesis. God, we talk about eight men. God chose men. Among the all creation, God chose Adam. Among the two brothers, God chose Abel. And among all, many people, God chose Enoch. And God chose Abraham. Among the sons, God chose Isaac, God chose Jacob, God chose Joseph. We can see that God chose people and do work in them to change their lives to please Him. So we can see this is like just like salvation come upon us. In the beginning, God chose us, isn't it? The second book, the work of God, Exodus. And then we realize not just we are chosen from God. God has to do something to deliver us from sin, to deliver us from the work of Satan, to deliver us from the world. So we need redemption of God. So we can see redemption is the main theme there. The third book, Leviticus. After God delivered these people, God immediately tells them, I'm a holy God. How do you live before me? So in Leviticus, God tells them, you need to be sanctified. Separate for me. How can we achieve holiness before God? It's not because of us. Because of what Jesus, He is our sacrifices before God. We have a status of holiness is because of the blood of the Lamb. So we can be holy before God is because of what Jesus has done. How can we become holy, sanctified before men? It's because we have to live out the word of God. So there are two parts. Holy before God, our status, and holy before among men. This is our reality. Do we live a holy life? Be holy, for I am holy. Okay, so there are two parts in the book of Leviticus. Sanctification. Be separated. After God separates us, these people start to walk with God. So you can see the sequence, the order of this book. Chosen. And then redeemed, saved us. To live before Him, separate. Sanctification. And now we can walk with God. Last time we talked about in the books of Numbers, their old generation, they have to learn. They are one army. God wants to train them to become an army. They have to learn trust and obey God and to walk with God. In the wilderness, they failed and they wasted 38 years in the wilderness. But in the end, we see at the end of Numbers, this become a new generation. In the past, they always talk about how good is Egypt. Oh, should we go back? Should we go back? But after 38 years, this new generation, they talk about, oh, how can we have the land? How can we have a share? How can we maintain? How can we possess the land? How can we make silly decisions that we can lose our possession? So they are now the new generation concerned more about having the land. So you can see the changes, just like our Christian life. God saved us, chosen us, save us, change our life, teach us to sanctify, separate ourselves before Him, and walk with us in our life. Now, at the end of Numbers, we come to the plain of Moab. They are about to enter into the land. So what's in their heart? What is in the mind of Moses? Moses, at that time, when he wrote the Deuteronomy, they are about one more, after 70 days, they are going to cross the River Jordan into the Promised Land. But Moses cannot go into the Promised Land. He could not go in because he sinned. So this is the last month in Moses' life. In his heart, what his burden to these people, they want these people, go in there, possess the land, possess the land. And also, it's in God's heart. He brought all these people from Egypt, wasting so many years in the wilderness, trained them. Now they transform. They are waiting at the plain of Moab. They are about to go into the land. So this is the heart. Go inside to possess the land. This possession of the land, the word possession appears 77 times in this book of Deuteronomy. So in God's heart or in Moses' heart, they want these people, go into the land, possess the land. Now you may ask, why is that land so important? Is it because it's flowing with milk and honey? No, the land is important because it signifies God's favor, God's pleasure with these people. Let me say that again. Why is that land important? It's just something similar to a certificate. After you study in the university, later on you have graduated, they give you a certificate or diploma or something like that. It's just a piece of paper. Why is it that important? Why have you study all this long time just to get a piece of paper? Physically, it's just a piece of paper. But that signifies something. That means you have achieved the skill, the knowledge, the technique, the experience you need. You are professional. You have your qualification. So possessing the land speaks of the quality of these people. They pleased God. So imagine a father have a son. When the son grows up, when he grows up to maturity, the father is going to give him all his inheritance, the business, everything passed to the son. So this is the heart of God. So they are going to be transformed, but to what? To maturity. When they come to maturity, that means they pleased God. They have grown to a state that they pleased God. So that's why they can possess the land. So looking back to us, how God saved us, God chose us, redeemed us, sanctified us, transformed our life into maturity to be like Christ. This is maturity. Possession means that we come to a state to possess the richness, the blessing, the love of God. So possession is more than just physically owning something. It means the qualification, the quality of these people. They have reached maturity. In order to reach maturity, they can possess the land. Now let's look at a little bit more about this book. The name of this book, Deuteronomy, in English is translated from Greek. The Greek meaning, can we go back a little bit, not so fast. The Greek deu is two. Deuteronomy means second law, okay? But the Hebrew words, these are the words from Moses at the plain of Moab. So the Hebrew meaning, the Hebrew word is the words there. So that's why we call this book the Word of God. In order to possess the land, in order to come to maturity, we need the Word of God in our life. Brothers and sisters, if you want to grow to be a mature Christian, how much we need the Word of God to become an important part in our lives. The Word of God. Maturity. Possession of the land. Let's look at second part. The time of this book is at the 40th year when they left Egypt. It's the first year. 11th month, the first day, Moses write this Deuteronomy. But after 70 days in the book of Joshua, chapter 4, 19, that is when they crossed the river Jordan. So you counted it, it's after 70 days, they are going to cross Jordan. And Moses can't go into the promised land. So it is at the end, almost at the end of the life of Moses. Okay? So this is, must be a great burden in his heart. Moses has been taking care of these people, 2 million people, in the wilderness for such a long time. Now he can't go into the promised land, but he wants, his burden is these people can really come inside, go inside to the promised land to possess the land. This is in God's heart. This is in Moses' heart. When we now think about ourselves, when we are saved, do you really want to grow into maturity? Or do you keep stuck in your Christian journey? Do you keep reading your Bible? Do you really want to grow into possess what God has ordained for us? The richness in Christ. Let's go further down. The key verse, I chose this, is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the last verse. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. That means through the words of God. Follow it. Walk in it. Not just knowing it. Walk in it. That you may live and it may go well with you. And that you may live long in the land you shall possess. So God gave us a land. God gave us richness in Christ. Go in, possess it. We may live long and in the land that you shall possess. So the possess is a very key word. Moses keep mentioning it, possess the land, possess it. Now how can we possess the land? Oh no, okay, now we know we need to keep the law. But it's more than that. Let's find a key word. How can we possess the land? Actually, when we read Deuteronomy, we don't think much this is about a book of love. It's, to us, it's about many regulations, many rules we have to follow. But actually, this is the first book that God tells us that He loved us. Boldly declared, He loved us. It appears 22 times. When we talk about love, always we think about, it's something, it's a sudden emotion come to us. No. In fact, when we talk about love, it's more about the will. It's about more about the commitment. I will love you. It's about determination. So I just quoted a few in here. God's love to man. In chapter 4, 23, He loved your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them. So again and again, God told us He loved us. Plainly, because the Lord loved us. Your God loves you. Okay? So, and not only that God loves us, He wants us to love Him back. Let's go down to another verse. Man's love to God. God required us, you shall love the Lord with your whole heart, whole soul, and whole might. Okay? So not just keeping the commandment. How do we show that we love Him? By inwardly, God requires us love Him, whole heart, whole soul, whole might. But outwardly, by keeping the commandments. So keeping the commandment is an expression of man's love to Him. God is not just happy with doing, we do the outside thing. God wants us to love Him with our whole heart, whole soul, whole mind, and express out by how to follow His words to express our love to Him. God is interested in our love to Him. Not us doing the right thing, but to expression of our love to Him. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. So God does not want just law keeper. God wants us to be His lover. We love, therefore we keep His words to express our love to Him. Therefore you shall love the Lord. In other words, love the Lord, serve Him with whole heart, whole soul. Again and again, God said, with your whole heart, whole heart. When you come to the meeting, when you read the Bible, when you serve in the congregation, are you loving Him? Are you expressing our love to Him? To love the Lord, to love Him, to love Him, to love Him. Difficulty may come, He will test Him. Some false prophet may appear and ask us to do something else, not following the Lord. This is a testing. God wants to test us. Chapter 13, whether you love the Lord whole heart, whole soul. So sometimes difficulty comes, sometimes temptation comes. God wants to test us. Not how firm we can stand, but do we love Him? God is interested that we love Him. God wants us to love Him. All He has done is love. And He wants us to love Him back. So this is the book of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord, we may dwell in the land. So how we can possess the land, not just getting down all the enemies and possess the land, how we can dwell and remain in the land, continue to live in the blessing, the richness in Christ, is through love. So when you read the Bible, do you read the Bible in love? Can we see God in the Bible? It's all about love, isn't it? Let's go to another part. In the Bible, in Deuteronomy, people say there are three discourses, three talks from Moses. We can separate it into three parts. The past, the present, and the future. When talking about the past, think about the past, what God has done. Think about it. Think about the love of God in the past. Talking about present, now you should do this, do this, do this, all these regulations. Again, it's all about love. God gives us this regulation. He loves us. That's why He guides us how to love Him. All these regulations is about love. And in the future, if we are not doing something wrong, He will discipline us. There will be consequences. But that's the retribution in the future. But it's also about the love of God. He never gives us up. Even He disciplined us, He is still love. Okay, now let's go further down. Past what God has done for Israel. So the first four chapters, it mentioned about disobedience at Kadesh. Therefore they journeyed into the wilderness. So it's all about love again. So when we read history, we can stay there for some time. Okay. So when we read about history, we can see our disobedience. Think about your life, brothers and sisters. How often do we disobey God? Can you see He disciplined us? It's because He loved us. Even they journeyed into the wilderness. God still journeyed with them. God gave them pillar of fire, pillar of cloud to guide them. God provided them with manna. Is that love? That is love. So brothers and sisters, when you're reading the history of the Israelites, think about the history, how God has saved you. Think about it. It shows the love of God. Can you look back and find love there? God gave the land to Edom, Moab, and Ammon. These three groups, they are related to, in a way, related to Israelites. So this group, God gave them the land. They have to conquer the giants as well. So God put them there to remind them, see, even though they have to fight against the giants, they can, because I bless them, they can overcome, they can overcome all the giants. So if you trust me earlier, no problem. You can still occupy the land. Because of giants, they don't trust God. But look at them. These are examples. God remind them, see, I can bless you. I see Edom, Moab, Ammon. I bless them as well. See, I'm a faithful God. See, I keep my promises. See, I'm rich in mercy. So all this testimony, all your friends around you, they are testifying that God is a God of love. Conquest of Sihon and Og. These are the Gentiles' king, Amorites. So even they make conquests, God helps them, isn't it? So when we look back in history, can we see God's guidance, God's protection? Why? Because God loves us. Further down, people ask for the 2.5 tribes wants the land on the east. They don't want to go into the promised land. They want the second best. Even though they don't want the best, they want the second best. Would God still grant them? Yes. Even though they are weak, God still have mercy on them. So again, looking back at history, can you see how a wonderful God we have? This is in the past. So Moses helped them to think about the past, how God is so gracious among them. Now about the present. From chapter 5 to chapter 8, what God expects of Israel. So God wants them to learning the law. Let me read it from a few verses, which is not in the PowerPoint. In chapter 6, verse 5 to verse 9, I'm going to read it out. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, teach your children the importance of God's words. It's important. And even in chapter 17, another part, in verse 18 and 19. And it shall be when the king sits on the throne of his kingdom, and he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book. So the king should copy the law from the one before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. So if you were king of Israel, you have to read your Bible every day, all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So God required the king. How to be king? You need to know God's words. And removing idols. This is how we show our love to God. Have you or have we removed idols in our hearts? Are we separated from enemies? These enemies may draw us away from God. Do we always remember the Lord before him? So I'm going to skip a bit quicker because this is what God expects of Israel. Think about it in the sense of how to love God and how to love fellow people. Now, in chapter 15, release of debts. I like that because after 7 years, people owe you money, you have to release them. It's kind of showing love to you fellow men. And they are slaves. After 7 years he served you, you have to let him go. Unless the one thing he can stay is when the slave say, I love my master. I want to stay. Now, that gives him a chance. He can stay. So God never forces people to serve him. Unless you love him, then you can stay and you can serve him out of love. The feast. There are 7 feasts, but there are 3 times in every year people have to gather and go to visit. Come to worship God. Feast is a time when God says, bring your sons and your daughters, come and rejoice before me. Bring the blessing I have given you. Remember how I have set you free. So feast is a time just like our family gathering, having joy. God wants people to come to him and have joy before him. This is love. I always have dinner with my parents, even Up to now, every Sunday dinner, family gathering, my father, my sisters, all gathering together, this is a time caring, sharing, family time together. So God wants people to love him. Not only come to me when you have need, not only come to me when you have problem, but this is a family. God wants people love him, having joy before him, gather before him. Know God what God has done for you. I like chapter 23, the vineyard, when you pass by people with have a vineyard, God allows you. You can go into the vineyard. You can have some grapes. You can eat it. But you can't get a container to take all the grapes. When you walk past the field of another people, your brother, they have grains, you can pluck the grain with your hand and eat it. But you can't use a sickle. So we show concern to other people. You can't take advantage of people who shows generosity to you.
Think about your brother. Know how to concern your brothers.
But in chapter 24, it's in the other way around. When you reap, when this time is the owner, how they can show mercy to the foreigners. When you reap, when you harvest, don't leave the corners there for the strangers, for the widows, for the fatherless. Let them have a corner. Share with them. When God bless you, think about the others. Show mercy and love to the others. When you beat olives, when you gather grapes, leave some on the branches. Don't take them all. Leave them for those who are in need. Leave them for the poor. So these laws, to me, they are wonderful. It teaches us how to show love and care to others. Loving God is one thing, and also loving brothers and sisters, loving others, loving other men. Chapter 27, at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, they are going to proclaim blessing and proclaim curse there. Let the people, when you love them, you want to know them, you give them choice. Love gives people to choose. And you know what the consequences. If you love God, blessing will come. If you disobey God, curse will come. If we go to chapter 28, the first 14 chapters talking about a lot of promised blessing for obedience. But in chapter 28, verse 15 to 68, a lot of curses for disobedience. When you compare, hey, how come blessing is just only 14 verses? How come the curses is a long list? Is God trying to threaten us? I don't think so. The long list of curses, to me, speaks of God is giving us warnings after warnings, patience with us, long suffering. If you offended me once, two times, the third time, I'll punish you. Seven times is my limit. But if we have offended God, there are more than 70 times seven, isn't it? There are long lists. God is warning us again and again and again. I'll give you, there will be drought, there will be diseases. Turn back to me, turn back to me, turn back to me. So I think that long list speaks of God's patience, long-suffering love to people. Not threatening us. He will do one and two and three times and want us to come back, turn back to Him. So we should have a different attitude when we look at this. Now, as we come to the last part, the future, chapter 29 to 34, what God will do for Israel. First of all, in chapter 29 to 30, there will be a covenant. A covenant that one day when they are scattered, let me read that part. In chapter 30, verse 2 to 3, chapter 30, verse 2 to 3, and you return to the Lord your God and obey His voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart, with all your soul, that your Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. So there's a covenant of restoration. Okay? When you return to the Lord your God, you and your children obey, then He will bring us back. Where He will gather you again from all the people where the Lord your God has scattered you. So there is a restoration. There's a promise. If we turn back to Him, He will brought us back to Him. So again, this is not a threat. This is to those who think they are strong. One day they stumbled. God comfort them. Come back to me. God still has an open arm. He welcomed us back to Him. So this is the covenant He made to us. So brothers and sisters, what a joy we find. Even though we failed Him again and again, God made a promise. There's a covenant. If we return, He will accept us. Again, we can enjoy the land He gave us. We can still possess the land. So in go further down to verse chapter 31, 32, and 34, we can see Moses is about to depart, so he charges Joshua, another one, to take them into the promised land. Moses, the name of Moses is pulling out from the water, but who can bring them into the promised land? Joshua, the name means Yeshua, that means Jesus. Only Jesus can bring us into the promised land. That's very meaningful. And then Moses, God asked Moses to write a song and blessing the tribes. He can foretell that people will forsake God. But yet again, God promised that they can come back to Him. In the last chapter, chapter 34, Moses, of course he didn't write that himself, chapter 34, possibly written by Joshua, because he can't write about his death, isn't it? So the background, actually the background for this PowerPoint is Mount Nebo. It's supposed to be where Moses looked down to the plain, and he can see the promised land. So the background is from Mount Nebo. And what would be the conclusion? The conclusion is very simple. God wants us to reach up to maturity, to possess the land, to possess all the fullness, the blessing in Christ. So Christian, when we are saved, don't stop at being, oh, I'm saved. Grow. Separate. Learn sanctification in our life. Learn to walk with God in our life. Learn to be transformed. Grow, grow, grow unto maturity to possess the land. Don't stop at reading, knowing one or two books in the Bible. Possess fully the Word. If this is the richness of God, if I can remember at that time, at Moses' time, if you want to study the Bible, you only have Moses' book, 5 books. But now we have more. We can know our Lord more. Each book, God is telling us how He has loved us. Each book, He taught us how to love Him. Each book, He has shown us what He will do for us in the future. So when we read this book, we find love inside. Don't be happy just knowing one book or two books. Explore it. Possess it. Find the richness in it. How can we possess enjoying God's provision and love? How can we possess God Himself? Know Him. By knowing His words. How? By knowing and following His words. Once again, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't stop by just knowing a little bit of God's words. Continue through the words to know Him. Not knowledge, not biblical knowledge, but through the words in order to know Him. In His words, we need to know Him, see His love. God does not tell you, He's not interested to give you information. God is not teaching you theology in here. He wants to tell you how He loved us, what He has done for us. How can we love Him and express our love to Him? See His love, and not just that, and love Him in our life. How to love Him in our life? So this is not the Old Testament. In New Testament, Jesus say about the same thing. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love. So God's words always related to love. Even Jesus, He kept God's commandment and abide in His love. So God's words, God doesn't want us to to be a law keeper, doing all the right things only? Because doing all this speaks of our love to Him, loving God with our whole heart, whole soul, and whole mind. So this is an expression of love. So what is the Word of God? The Word of God is that He shows us, the Word of God shows us how much He loved us. And when we read it, we know how much He loved us and we love Him, teaching us how to love Him. So may God help us when we read God's words, we can see His face. Let's sing a song, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Break Thou the Bread of Life. The verse 1, it says, Beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. So whenever we read the words, we seek Him. Verse 2, Give me to eat and live with Thee above. Teach me to love Thy truth, for Thou art love. Verse 3, Show me the truth concealed within Thy word, and in Thy book revealed, I see Thee, Lord. Shall we sing? Please stand. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You. Your word is so precious. Because through Your word, You reveal Yourself to us. You are a God of love.
We pray that whenever we come before your word, we will abide in your love. Help us to walk in your love, Lord, keeping your words to please you. Only your words can bring us to maturity. Only your words is life. So, Lord, we commit ourselves into your hand. Help us, Lord, to study your word and read your word and know you and be transformed by you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Please be seated.